Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, who's got a great scripture.
Yes.
Our daily scripture.
Do not be afraid.
That's it.
Isaiah 44:8. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witness. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one.
Wow.
Great scripture.
Yes, it is.
We're going to finish up from yesterday.
We are.
That's it.
And that was kind of, it's an exciting scripture. Today's entitled, Avoid, How to Avoid an Economic Armageddon.
Mm.
We're going to do a brief review.
That's it.
Number one was turn off the negativity of the news and turn on the word filled with hope.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 91 is what we call the hedge of protection chapter. We strongly encourage you to read it, meditate, and memorize this chapter. In fact, if you go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says personalized scriptures, you can actually personalize Psalm 91 with your name on it.
That's right.
And
put
that's
it out for yourself.
That's all. That's good.
Okay, number two, obey God's economic rules. Look, let's look at the four main scriptural tenets of God's plan for our financial independence. I'm going to give you the address of them. Deuteronomy 8:18. He gives us the ability to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. James 1:27. And 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. A lot of those we quote often. But the point is you're blessed so that you will be a blessing and can bless other people. God doesn't mind you, let's put it this way. God does not prosper you for the purpose of raising your standard of living. He prospers you to raise your standard of giving. But as you raise your standard of giving, your standard of living will rise also.
Amen. Number three, will you get your money back? Absolutely. And seven times what was lost or stolen. There will be times in life when the enemy takes what belongs to you. He'll steal your income, perhaps your home, a family member, your time, or health. But you must be aggressive going after what the enemy has taken. Proverbs 6:31. But if he, the thief, be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
That's right.
And Joel 2:25.
Yeah, we love that one. We didn't quote it for you yesterday, but it's a great scripture. it's talking about what the canker worm has eaten, and he will restore to you the years that the locusts have taken. So,
don't think twice that about the enemy of the soul.
That's right.
Because trying to take what belongs to you, but you gotta know payback comes through the word of God.
That's right. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday. And number four is prepare yourself for the end time wealth transfer.
Yes.
Acts 30:14 says, God has no respecter of persons. I don't think that's right. But what he's promised or done, he'll do for each one of us. Also in Exodus 12:35-36.
Acts 31:6.
Yeah, I've got to look it up.
While you look.
There you go.
Exodus 12:35-36. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels, silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, you might understand the spoiled. Listen to it in the New Living Translation. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Not only were the Egyptians spoiled, stripped, picked, and plundered, as the scripture says, the ones who gave away their goods were favorable to this wealth transfer. The Egyptians had suffered 10 plagues and even lost their firstborn sons. No doubt the Egyptians were ready for the Israelites to get out of Dodge, using cowboy vernacular, the words to get out of their country. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, let me correct that, because it's Acts 10:34 that says God is no respecter of persons. I think we had 14. Sometimes when we're typing this up, we might be in a hurry.
Yeah.
So, I knew it didn't sound right. 10:34. Okay.
Number five, if you're in debt, stop digging the hole. You can try to justify every step you take further into bondage and the black hole of debt. But when do you plan to get out, or at least stop digging? It's when you're working to satisfy MasterCard's minimum payments, and your money is not your own. Neither is it available to God's kingdom, that you're not free to obey his commands. In fact, you will become a slave to the lenders. We didn't make that up. This is the Proverbs 22:7, Contemporary English Version. The poor rule by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of the moneylenders. In other words, you're not free to serve God because you haven't followed his commands. If you're in debt, you can't go where God tells you to go, or do what he tells you to do, or become what he wants you to be. So here's a question. How free are you to serve God? When you're working two jobs just to keep the collection agency from your house, your front door, you're not available to God. 2 Timothy 2:4, New Living Translation. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. King James Version of 2 Timothy 2:4 says it this way. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him has chosen him to be a soldier. The Hebrew word for borrow means entangle and intertwine. We entangle ourselves with creditors to the point that we've lost our freedom to do what God called us to do. Then we're not free, and we're certainly not following his commands. Just think on these things. Think on them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The one thing
never
changes. The Word of God, the love of our Heavenly Father for his children, and forgiveness of our sins, and he forgives our stupidity as well.
That's kind of nice. A very good thing to know. I'm going to read Joel 2:25, just so we can know what it is. I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, the great army sent among you. So, he's going to restore to you what you missed out on. Number six, create a plan and timeline to get out of debt. And the best time to start? Right this minute. So let us be clear, regardless of what storms appear gathering on your financial horizon, it's really time to get out of debt now. We're going to give you an absolute fact. If you don't have a plan to get out of debt, then you're going to be always in debt.
It's true.
There are a number of plans to help people get out of debt. We personally like the Debt Free Army Master Plan. Truly, it works. We know it will allow you to create your own personalized out of debt plan. When you complete filling in all of the blanks, you will absolutely know the date and the year. I mean, the month, the day, and the year that you will be totally and completely debt free. But you got to be committed to the plan, and you're going to have to give it your best efforts. Ecclesiastes 9:10, first part of the scripture says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Meaning, get busy. The Bible is telling that whatever you plan to do, get in there and do it. Be specific about it, committed to it, and go for it. Proverbs 1:25, New International Version. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty.
Yes.
And 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15, this in the NIV. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. The master plan will lead you to financial freedom, but only if you work the plan.
We want to say this. We used to sell that master plan for $50. But we now have it on a MP3.
Yes.
And where it does all the calculations for you and everything else.
You have to feed in the info, but it calculates for you.
Calculates it and will give you what you said a moment ago, honey. The month, the year
mm-hmm.
that you're debt-free.
That's right.
Now, here's the really good news. If you tell us that you were going to use it, we'll send it as a gift to you. Just write Harold Herring, Harold at HaroldHerring.com.
I'd like to even add, for a gift of any amount, I think you need to commit.
Yeah, it'll mean more to you.
It'll mean more to you if you put something into it. So just send any amount, and we'll send it to you. Email it. You got to email it.
That's right.
Number seven.
Invest with biblical insight and Holy Spirit direction.
Amen.
If you listen to the news, you'll quickly realize your best source for investments is not the major brokerage houses or banks. Here are five basic investment facts to add to your financial wisdom. First, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Ecclesiastes 11:2, New Living Translation. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. Today's New International Version of that scripture, Ecclesiastes 11, says, invest in seven ventures, yes, and eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Need to meditate on that. Second, stay away from get-quick-rich schemes. Stay away from get-rich-quick schemes.
There you go.
Proverbs 28:20, New Living Translation. The trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get in trouble.
Wow.
Proverbs 28:22, two verses later, New Living Translation says, greedy people try to get rich quick, but they don't realize they're headed for poverty. Third, at this time, we believe that gold and silver are good investments. If the gloom and doom people are right, prices are going to skyrocket, and the doom and gloomers, but we think they're wrong. But regardless, gold and silver have always been a great investment.
That's right.
If you buy precious metals, make sure you have it in your personal possession and in a secure place. Fourth, never invest in what you don't understand. Enough said. If you have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, then you can understand.
And if you don't do it.
That's it. Fifth, your greatest investment is what you sow to the kingdom of God. The absolute highest rate of return you'll find in any investments is revealed in Ecclesiastes 11:1, Message Bible. It says, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns.
Mm.
So be kingdom-minded with your investments. It has guarantees that last. Some time back, I wrote a blog called 20 Mistakes to Avoid When Planning Your Future. You can go to HaroldHerring.com, go to search, put in that title, 20 Mistakes to Avoid When Planning Your Future, and it'll pull it up. Also encourage you to read 5 Things to Know Before You Invest. In summation, you got a choice. You can allow the doom and gloomers to scare them
out of you.
That's it. Or you can trust the Word of God. For us and our house,
we will serve the Lord.
It's the Word of the Lord.
That's right.
Think on these things, and until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.